We're observing Older Adult Sunday here at Central. I don't know why they asked me to preach on it. I still get offended when I go in McDonald's and they hand me the senior citizen free coffee and I didn't even ask for it. I think my daughter's home from college. I think so. We haven't gotten any mail for two weeks asking for more money. It's twice as much laundry. And one of the cars is missing. If you'll turn in your Bibles, please, to the Old Testament, to the book of Isaiah, to chapter 45. We believe the Bible to be the only infallible rule for faith and practice, the whole Bible, from Genesis 1 through Revelation. Here God tells us about Himself, who He is, how He loves us, what He wants us to be and do. Our scripture is from 46, verses 3 through 13. We believe these words to be from God to us. Listen to them. Listen to me, O house of Jacob, all you who remain of the house of Israel, you whom I have upheld since you were conceived and have carried since your birth. Even to your old age and gray hairs, I am He. I am He who will sustain you. I have made you and I will carry you. I will sustain you and I will rescue you. To whom will you compare me or count me equal? To whom will you liken me that we may be compared? Some pour out gold from their bags and weigh out silver on the scales. They hire a goldsmith to make it into a god. And they bow down and worship it. They lift it to their shoulders and carry it. They set it up in its place, and there it stands. From that spot it cannot move. Though one cries out to it, it does not answer. It cannot save him from his troubles. Remember this. Fix it in mind. Take it to heart, you rebels. Remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times what is still to come. I say my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. From the east I summon a bird of prey, from a far-off land a man to fulfill my purpose. What I have said, that will I bring about. What I have planned, that will I do. Listen to me, you stubborn-hearted, you who are far from righteousness. I am bringing my righteousness near. It is not far away, and my salvation will not be delayed. I will grant salvation to Zion, my splendor to Israel. On this Older Adult Sunday, our meditation is entitled, God and the Geriatric Set. Our text, verse 4, even to your old age and gray hairs, I am He. I am He who will sustain you. I have made you and I will carry you. I will sustain you and I will rescue you. May God bless to us this reading from His holy word. To His name be praise and glory forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us pray. Our Father, as we think about the years, as they go by so rapidly, and suddenly the sun of life begins to set, and the years have played out their hand and are over, and the sunset comes, and the evening shadows lengthen, and the busy world is hushed, the fever of life is over. Grant that we may so live these days, that when the end comes and we stand at last in your presence, we may hear your voice saying to us, well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. The first point I want to make this morning is this: life is not for sissies. Life is not for sissies. No, life can be very tough. I think St. Paul must have suffered more than most. He once wrote to the Corinthians that he had been in prison often, that he had been flogged severely, and exposed to death again and again. He wrote to them about some of his experiences, and he said, 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. He went on to add, I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. No, life for St. Paul was not easy. And many of you listening to the sound of my voice this morning discover that for you life has not been easy. Some of you have felt the heartache and the tragedy of your own children suffering, of seeing loved ones struck down with pain or disease, of seeing your life savings eaten up by health costs or job losses. Some of you have felt the agony of loneliness when a mate has betrayed you or deserted you. And many of you know what it is to have a broken home, know what it is to try to raise children by yourself, and often with little financial help from anyone. No, life ultimately is not for sissies. The second point I want to make is this: even though life is tough, and even though it has heartaches and disappointments, in the midst of it, we Christians discover that there is someone who truly cares. That's what our scripture for this morning is all about. No matter how life treats us, no matter what the years do to us, we discover in the midst of it a God who can be counted on. And that's what our text for this morning tells us. Even to your old age and gray hairs, I am He. I am He who will sustain you. I have made you and I will carry you. I will sustain you and I will rescue you. Just yesterday, as I was typing on this sermon, the mail came, and in it a letter from a dear friend who is a member of this congregation. She has certainly seen her share of tragedy and heartache, and each year on the birthday of her daughter, there are flowers here in the sanctuary in memory of a child who is dead. She wrote to me and said that for 8 years she had been forced to take steroids because of asthma, and it had had terrible side effects. It had created extreme osteoporosis, and she is bent over almost double. She is suffering from 11 compression fractures of the spine and 2 broken ribs. She has lost 50 pounds and she has lost 8 inches in height. She wrote of her pain and how sometimes she cries out in protest. And then she remembers that God has never given her more than she can bear. She wrote of how she felt about it. And she said, I look back on life and now more than before, and see how wonderful the good Lord has been to me. Even with trials, tribulations, heartbreaks, and I see the overall plan of God. And many of us have had that experience, to be able to look back on life and to see that God's hand was truly upon us, and we can praise Him for it. Isn't that what St. Paul wrote about his own sufferings? After listing all of the things that he had gone through, he concluded, "But the Lord said to me, My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." So my first point is that life isn't for sissies. And my second point is that in the midst of the worst that happens, God is with us. We can count on Him. As Isaiah writes, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." My third point is this. Often how life turns out depends on what you do with trouble when it comes. It depends on how you handle the problems that life brings. You can let them defeat you and destroy you, or you can use them as stepping stones to something better. One of my favorite hymns is "Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee," which is from Beethoven's famous Ode to Joy. When that music was first performed, it was instantly acclaimed as great. But Beethoven himself never heard the music except in his mind. You see, he had gone completely deaf. When he first learned that he would lose his hearing, he responded angrily and wrote to a friend, "Your Beethoven is most unhappy and at strife with nature and the Creator." But he knew that he would never be happy if he did not compose. And so it was he set to work, even though never again would he hear the sounds that he loved so much, except in the memory of his mind. Have troubles and difficulties and problems and hardships gotten you down? You see, often it depends on how you respond to trouble. Let me tell you about Anna Mary Robertson. She worked as a hired girl on a farm. She didn't have much. She met the hired hand who also worked on the farm for that family and fell in love, and they got married. They moved to a place of their own, and together they raised 10 children. Anna's favorite pastime was needlework, but at the age of 80, her hands had become so stiffened with arthritis, she could no longer handle even a large needle to embroider. So she decided to try her hand at something else, and she took up painting, since even with her arthritic hands, she could hold the large brush. And so she began to paint scenes out of her own life, mostly farm pictures and country scenes. And one day a New York art collector was passing through her small town and saw some of her paintings in the window of the drugstore. And the rest, of course, is history. Thus, Grandma Moses became a famous artist. And did you know that of her 1,500 paintings, almost a fourth of them were painted after she was 100 years old? Since we're celebrating Older Adult Sunday, let me remind us of some of the things that older adults have done. I read the other day that as medical science advances and finds answers to arteriosclerosis, by the year 2000, there may be as many as 150 million people who are 65 and older. And think what's going to happen to the older population when the baby boomers get there. And what happens in the years ahead depends in large part on how our aging population responds to old age.
You see, old age should never be an excuse for anything. God called Moses to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt, and Moses was 80 years old. Now, Moses made a lot of excuses to God as to why he didn't want to do it. But as a matter of fact, he never used his age as an excuse. He never said, "Lord, don't you know I'm 80 years old? I'm too old to do that." Did you know that Michelangelo was still writing poetry and designing things in his 89th year? And I'll bet you don't know that when he painted the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel, lying on his back on a scaffold, he was almost 90 years old. Cato began studying Greek at age 80. Strauss was still composing serious music after his 80th birthday. And at 79, Paderewski was still playing the piano superbly. And the list could go on and on. Tennyson wrote his famous Crossing the Bar at 83. Victor Hugo wrote Les Miserables at 82. George Bernard Shaw wrote many of his plays after he was 80. The fourth point I want to make is this. Old age is coming if you live long enough. And while old age will waste away your body, we Christians have an inner fountain of youth. Did you realize that? St. Paul once wrote, "We do not lose heart. We do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day." Yes, we do not lose heart. We are being renewed inwardly day by day. Now, I want to ask you a question. Every morning when you get up and you look in the mirror, you are a day older. And there isn't a great deal you can do about that. Even a gallon of oil of Olay won't help in the long run. Now, you can dye your hair. You can get a facelift. You can even buy a new wardrobe. And yet what St. Paul said is still going to be true. Outwardly, we are wasting away. And what I want to know from you is this. Are you being renewed inwardly day by day? You see, that's the real question. Is the inner you, is that inner person, that inner being, is the real you, that personality that is you, being renewed day by day? You see, when this house we live in is ramshackle and dilapidated, when the roof starts to cave in, when the floor sags and the foundation crumbles, is the real you going to be alive and vital because it has been renewed day by day? You remember how St. Paul described it? He wrote, "Now we know that if this earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands." Now, a lot of us are working on this earthly house of flesh, this earthly tent we live in. We try to eat properly, we exercise, we take vitamins, and we do all sorts of things to keep our bodies functioning well. And yet at the same time, too often we ignore our inner body, that spiritual body, the one that's going to last for all eternity. Now let me ask you this question. How is your inner nature? How is your spiritual body? How is this body that you're going to have for all eternity? St. Paul says, "Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day." Is that true for you? Maybe you run, maybe you jog, maybe you lift weights, Maybe you do other exercises. Maybe you eat plenty of fiber. Maybe you avoid fats. Maybe you really try to have the right diet so you will be healthy. But are we taking the same care? Are we giving the same attention? Are we putting the same effort into building strong spiritual bodies? You see, that's the body that can be young forever, renewed day by day. That's the body that will never grow old. That's the body you're going to have for all eternity. And as St. Paul said, we do not lose heart. Your physical body is growing older, and for some of us, our physical bodies are already creaking and groaning as they wear out. But your inner body can be young forever. Someone has said, you're young as you feel. Let me tell you, that's a lie. You are as old as you are. And only the inner you can be renewed. Only the inner you is designed for eternity. Now, the last point I want to make is this. As we get older, the question that gets more and more important is this. Do we know the way home? Let me ask you that question. Do you know your way home to God? Do you know how to get to heaven? You see, in these bodies of ours, none of us will live forever. And the question is, where will we go when we die? As you get older day by day, are you being renewed in the inner being? Are you finding your way home to God? I read a story the other day about a man in Norway. His name was German Skogstad. Last year, German moved from the country to the city and rented an apartment. He was a country boy. He didn't know much about big cities. 30 minutes after he got all of his stuff moved into his apartment and settled down, he went out for a bite to eat. Not knowing the neighborhood, he had to wander around until he found a cafe. And by the time he found it, he was hopelessly lost and had no idea how to get back to his apartment. Worse still, he had forgotten the address of his new home. However, there was good news and bad news. The good news was he had written the address down on a card and put it in his wallet. The bad news was his wallet was in his apartment. Now, according to this true story, after a month, German still had not found his way home. When you're old, and the trials and the tribulations of life have overwhelmed you, and the time has come to go home to God, when the evening shadows have lengthened and the busy world is hushed and the fever of life is over, will you know God's address? Will you know the way?